excited about this morning. Lots gone on in just the last couple of days, and this morning I think was just kind of God ordained to happen right now at this moment in time, even so to speak, for our church, and even just things that are happening this week and all. Last week, by the way, for all of you that served and helped out last week, thank you so much. We had the biggest Sunday that we've ever seen at 24, the most people that we've ever had gotten to minister to and share the gospel with, which is huge, and such a great opportunity. And I mean, honestly, just to be honest with you, a little surreal, just looking back on, you know, what it was like when we first started the church and what's this thing going to look like and what's God want to do with it? And just very humbling, honestly. It could not happen without so many faithful people who just love Jesus and love the church. And so thank you. Part of last week in the message, I brought up this passage of Scripture, which is well known as the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. In fact, if you got a Bible, I want you to go ahead and pull your Bible. In fact, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, hold your hand up. We got an usher that'll bring you a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you that as a present. You can keep it. If you do, then you can leave it and we'll put it back away. This morning, I want us to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 28. It's the first of the Gospels, first book of the New Testament. In Matthew 28, we see this charge, if you will, these marching orders, if you will. And one of the things that I talked about last week on Easter Sunday was that when we see Jesus and we see what he's doing, and we see him that he gives, you know, he comes back after he's been killed on a cross, he raises from the dead, and he has this short window to say whatever he's going to say, and then he's out. I mean, by his choice, short window, by the Father's maybe, and he ascends back to be with the Father after that. And in that moment in time, he teaches several things, but this is clearly one of the things, and clearly thematically one of probably the most important things that he's trying to get across comes in this passage of Scripture known as the Great Commission. Well, honestly, it's thematic through the other things that he's teaching as well, but I want us to look at this passage. I want us to check it out because it says some things to us that I think are very important. In chapter 28, verse 18 of the book of Matthew, it says this. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.'" And I love this. "And what? And teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This passage of Scripture is very much, if we're looking for reason, if we're looking for calling, if we're looking for purpose in life, we can always go right here. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, growing up, I worked several different jobs growing up because my parents wanted me to learn what it was like to work. I'm glad that they did. And one of the very first things that I did, and I did it for probably 3 or 4 years, was I worked on a farm. And baled hay a lot of the time. And when we weren't baling hay, we were putting up fence. We were fencing, and not the, you know, sword fight thing, you know, but like stringing barbed wire, okay? And some woven wire if you want to get technical. But anyway, we were fencing, and this is some pretty tough work. And there were days, and a couple of my buddies were working with me to top it off. And so we were goofballs about 80% of the time. And I really sometimes look back on it and go, why in the world did he just not fire us to begin with and just put himself out of the misery? I guess he just couldn't sucker anybody else into putting up fence for him. Anyway, we were fencing, and I remember specifically, you know, every time we would go out, we'd go to his house, we'd jump in the back of his pickup truck, and we would ride down through White's Creek to go to whichever place we were going that day to put up fence or bale hay. But when we were fencing specifically, one of the things that I always remember was, you know, he would walk with us, and a lot of times what we were doing is we were splitting up land where, you know, families had were wanting to divide up land that was left to them, and the brother gets this and the sister gets that. And so, you know, it had to be kind of on the line. You know, these people, you know, family, you know, brothers and sisters get, you know, somebody dies and everybody's like, I want mine. And that's exactly kind of what was going on. And so, you know, he would walk through out there with us, and he kind of knew where the lines were. And so he would show us, and we were usually fencing through wooded areas on the edge of fields and things like that. And so he would say, okay, now I think you could go from that tree to this tree to that tree. And then on down there, you're going to need to put a post between those trees, you know. And so, you know, we'd have to add in posts here and there and that kind of thing. And, you know, one of the things that I do remember when we were actually working hard is one of the things that we enjoyed doing was seeing if we could race to get more fence done than what he would ask us to do. And so the thing about that, though, is we only would get marching orders for going so far, and then from the rest, we're kind of like, well, I'm pretty sure that we could go from here to here to here, and we kind of guessed the rest of it, which didn't always work out so good. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, about that and looking back on that is, you know, when we would get more done, or we would get all done that he didn't think that we could get done in a day's work, you know, he would be very proud. He'd be very happy with us. And it made us feel good to make him happy because we wanted to please him. You know, I think for us as believers, a lot of times we feel that way about our relationship with Jesus and about what we're doing ministry-wise. But I think a lot of times what happens is we get more into people-pleasing than we get into Jesus-pleasing. You know, and so what happens is we get a passion, we're gung-ho for God, and, you know, things are going well, and I'm going to do this for you, Jesus. And so we start to put together a plan. But sometimes those plans are really honestly to please other people or to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. That's not where God wants us to be. God wants us to do the things that we're called to do for Him because we love Him. Mother's Day is coming up next week. You know, a little reminder there, guys. You know, make sure that you buy a card this week. Maybe sit down, write a list of all the things you ever did wrong. Say you're sorry for all of them. Might take you a while if you're like me. Maybe you need to shoot a video. I don't know. But, you know, one of the things about, you know, thinking about that, thinking about, you know, this understanding of you know, Mom and Mother's Day and all of those things to go along with this idea of pleasing someone, you know, it makes us feel good to do something for Mom. But the truth is we don't just do something for Mom because we want to feel good about ourselves. We do something for Mom because we love her. That's what God's looking for. God is looking for us to love Him. It's a mission statement of our church. Love God. Love people, live gospel. It's in order, by the way. There's a purpose that's in that order. And looking at this passage of Scripture, and I know we just taught about this, and I know generally on a Sunday morning we take a passage and we just barrel through it and just pull as much as we can out of that. We're going to do a little bit of that this morning, but sometimes I think we have opportunities like we have today where we get to hear Scripture and God's call and God's mission being lived out. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But in this passage where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, I think very clearly he's kind of, you know, like I said last week, kind of saying, na 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 boo boo, you tried to kill me, but I came back. I'm here. You may have not believed I was God before, but guess what? I'm God. Here's the proof. I'm back. You can't kill me. You know, hello. And so, you know, he's saying, with all of that authority, with all the authority that I am God, all authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me. And he says this is the marching orders. This is what we're looking for. If we're looking for purpose in our life, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You know, and so right there we've got this huge piece of a puzzle where we know that we are called to this. We're called to this. Looking for something to like make your life have some meaning? This is it. This is what we're called to. This is what we're supposed to be about. You take this one verse, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and all that stuff. That verse alone by itself is enough to scare a lot of people off from being true followers of Christ. I've got a friend that's with us today, and I'm going to ask Clay if he would to go ahead and join me. And Clay is the youngest brother to the bearded one, if you hadn't figured that out by now. Someone asked me between the services, they said, "Is that guy related to Ben?" I said, "Who? What guy?" This is Clay Atkinson. Clay has joined us today from down south, and Clay, we're really glad to have you today. Clay has come into town just to share with us today. He's sharing at Basilea tonight. But just to share with us today what God is calling him to do and what God's been doing in his life. Clay, just share with us. Share some stuff. Tell us what Jesus is doing in your heart.
All right. So, little backstory on me. Grew up in the church. Got saved when I was young. It was legit. It wasn't just nominal. Grew up in the church. Had Ben and my other brother, he's also a pastor, as my brother, so there's some solid influence on my life. But just grew up in the church. God really used that to shape my life. But at the end of high school, beginning of college, I really just grew apathetic towards religion through, you know, the church, Christianity. Satan really got a hold on me somehow with all that. And so that carried through the beginning of college. I'm at Mississippi State, by the way. And so about a year and a half ago, God just really got a hold of my life. He showed me again how sinful I am, and just how good God is and how much I need God, and just broke me. And so since then, so for about a year and a half, God's really just been reshaping and reforming my thoughts about him, my actions, what I do for people, just loving God, loving people, and living gospel, and really showing me like what that is. You know, it's not just saying you're a Christian, like it's doing stuff. It's actively loving God, it's actively loving people, and it's actively living the gospel. And so last summer, specifically, God revealed this whole missions thing to me. I was at school at Mississippi State. Chemical engineering is my major. And so my plan was, you know, go through, get that degree, and start making the bank, you know, living the high life. And God just really started convicting me about how I use my time and my talents and my resources over last summer. And so it started off with how I use my money and how I plan to use my money with the degree. But it didn't stop there. God continued to convict me, and so it turned into not just, you know, what I have, how I use it, but like what I am and how I need to be actively pursuing the kingdom. And so that culminated into a call to career foreign missions. That's how I feel God's leading me. Initially, I had no idea like what region I'd be at or what people or language or anything like that. And then over this past Christmas, I went to China on a missions trip. I'd never left the U.S., and so like I felt God calling me to foreign missions, but I'd never actually been foreign, and so it was crazy. So I jumped on like the first opportunity I could to leave the United States and go do a mission trip. And so that was China this past Christmas. So serving in China and then coming back, I just had this yearning for that people. My heart just kind of broke for those people. So that's where I'm planning after college. Once I finish my degree, I got one more year, is to then go over to China for full-term career.
Very cool. Tell us, so you went to China over Christmas. How long were you there?
I was there for 2 weeks.
So basically, you took your Christmas break and skipped Christmas with your family.
Yeah.
And went to China. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Mom was freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can see that.
You know, going halfway across the world for Christmas.
Tell us a little bit about what you did and even kind of what's lying ahead here.
Okay, so the region I went to, and I'll be going back to the same region and working with the same missionary. The region we're at it's right north of Vietnam, so it's really far south China. It's not the highly populated like eastern seaboard, like Beijing and Hong Kong and Shanghai that you think of when you think of China. It's much more rural. It's not Nashville. It's Cheatham County. So that's kind of the region I'm in.
They're cool with Cheatham County. It's good.
Yeah. And so
even if they don't live here, they come to church here. That says something about them. So.
And so we're serving in more of it's more of a rural. Village, and specifically what the missionary Andy that I'll be working with, him and his wife, they've lived in China for about 5 years, but they've been focused on this specific people group that we're trying to target and trying to reach for about 3 years. And before 2008, this people group had never been focused on in the gospel. It's a minority group in China. It's like a Dai Zhuang people. It's kind of Zhuang is like a big minority, and so then there's all these like little subgroup minorities that they're Zhuang, but they're not just, you can't just clump them in together, like they're different. And so he's been focusing on those people, so I'm going to join up alongside him and help him focus on these people, minister to these people. The minority groups in China are kind of, they're left to the wayside. Like the Han Chinese make up the majority of the people. And so the minorities are just kind of like whatever, they're just scraps, kind of. And so oftentimes they're kind of abused and persecuted, not heavily, but more socially so. And so we'll be focusing on one of these people groups. And there's about 120,000 of them is the estimate, but there's less than 10 believers. And so there's a severe need for the gospel. The majority of these people live in villages, and these villages are scattered all throughout the mountainous southern China. But we only know where about 10 or 15 villages are. But there's estimated to be at least 100, you know. So, like, there's just, like, we want to minister to these people, but there's just, we can't even reach all these people because we don't even know where they all are right now. And so a lot of what we did this past Christmas was finding these villages. You'd go to these market days where all these little villages would meet up and sell stuff. And it's all crazy. I think there might be that's a market day. And so it's all crazy, and it's fun, and it's loud, and there's, you know, water buffalo just kind of walking around the city and stuff, and it's crazy. But we can find our people because there's ethnic dress kind of that the women will wear. And so we can spot our people and then kind of like follow them back to their village and try to find where they are so we can minister to these people. And, you know, that sounds like stalker and, you know, you know. But they're like really nice. Like the Chinese are really cool, especially the rural Chinese. Like they've probably haven't seen a white person except on maybe television or something. And so they're like, whoa, you know, like come eat with us. So then I can brag to all my neighbors that like a white person ate at my house, you know. And so it's really funny. So they're like really inviting and stuff. And so then they invite you in and you get this delicious food because their Chinese food is like way better than our Chinese food. And then you get to share the gospel with them. And so that's what we're focusing on is just reaching these people, living the gospel.
So when I see this passage of scripture and it says, you know, taking the gospel to all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I mean, and teaching them what God has commanded, what Jesus has commanded, all things, you're actually doing that. All nations with people that have never heard the name of Jesus before. I think the thing that I loved the most when we got to talk earlier in the week was I asked Clay, I said, what are you going to be doing this summer that you're pretty jacked up about? And he said, probably one of the most exciting things I do, and he just kind of told you, is he goes to the market day, hangs out, finds a group of people that they've not ever seen before, and then follow them back to their village on a motorcycle. So you got like the stalker motocross thing going on, and then you get to go back and talk about Jesus with them. And they're just open. They're just like willing because you're a white guy. So because you're the catch of the day, because nobody else has had one in their house before or something. This is incredible. This is an incredible thing. What drives you into doing this?
All right, yeah. And so we see, you know, everything that we do should be driven by biblical convictions. Like in the Bible, it's clearly presented Great Commission. Like Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And we see this word nations, and we're, you know, is that just geopolitical? Like, do we just reach like a few people in China and then call it quits, or where do we stop? And so we look to Revelation 7 as a kind of a better understanding. And Revelation 7 says, this is John prophesying of what will come in the end times when Christ comes back. And there's a great multitude, more than anyone can count, from every tribe, language, people, group, and nation. And so it's not just like a geopolitical country. It's like people groups, like different people. Like Indian tribes almost, you know, like we say Native Americans and it's like one group, but it's really not. Like it's tons of them. And so it's kind of like that, but all over the world. Like we're to reach every single people group, and there's so many unreached people groups. It's promised in Revelation that they will all be before the throne praising God. So there will be a people from every nation. And we also see like in Matthew 24, like this gospel will be proclaimed to all the kingdom, to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so like it's our duty to proclaim it to all the nations. And you know, why, what's the driving force beyond just like the Great Commission and God tells us to? And you know, we're driven by God's glory. Like when God is glorified, we're satisfied in him.
That's right.
Like that's our purpose on earth, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we do that through missions. Like missions exist because worship doesn't. The glory of God will be proclaimed to the edges of the earth, to the ends of the earth, all around the earth. And that'll be great. But right now it's not. Like there's billions of people who have never heard of Jesus, much less, you know, accepted him as Savior. And, you know, so God is not being worshiped in places like China and India on the level that he deserves to be worshiped. And so it's our job to, you know, it's our mission to go and to make God proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Worship is eternal. Like when we die, we'll go to heaven and we'll continue to worship God. But missions are temporary. Missions have an end. When Jesus comes back, missions stop. And so we're to go hard for the gospel until then. Because when all the nations are reached, then the end will come, but not before. And so that's just kind of the driving force of everything, is the love of God and wanting God to be glorified causes us to love people. And in loving people, we share the gospel because that's their greatest need more than anything. And so we live gospel out. And this is both in our like day-to-day lives, and it's also in going halfway around the world and eating awesome food and sharing the gospel with people. So it's both. But that's the driving force.
Very cool. Very cool. There are some things for us to pick up from what Clay is talking about. Because I know that the temptation for us is this. We look at a guy like Clay and we go, okay, God's given him a calling to go out there and do something, you know, like go to China. And for us, we would say, well, you know, God's not calling me to do that. So I don't really have a lot in common with Clay. I think that we make that mistake in differentiating ourselves from a guy like Clay, that our calling would be any different, that how we would get to our calling would be any different. You know, just in Clay's story alone, we're hearing the pieces of the puzzle of how he got to this point. Biblical conviction, spent time with Jesus. Jesus ruined your life and told you and showed you love him, and because you love him, you love some people you've never met in your life, and you want to be about taking the gospel to them. That is love God, love people, live gospel. That is the three things. That's how that works. And I think for us to just get a glimpse of that and understand even why that's the mission statement for our church is so important for us, because we too are called to be missionaries. You see, when Jesus said this, when Jesus said with all authority and you know, go and make disciples of all nations, you know, and teach them and baptize them in my name, you know, he didn't say, hey, by the way, that's just for the disciples. You guys have got that, so y'all are good. And everybody else that hears that's not for you. Don't worry about it. That's if we're followers of Christ, if we're believers in Jesus, if he is our Lord and Savior, that is our mission. And that is our mission in China. And that is our mission in Alabama this week. That is our mission in Nashville. That is our mission in Pleasant View. That is our mission where we work. That is our mission with our family. That is our mission with our friends. That is our mission wherever God has put us. Because God isn't going to pluck every one of us up where we are and then send us to China. He may do that for some of you. Some of you may completely have your lives ruined and forget the making bank, and God's going to send you somewhere else, or God's going to call you to plant a church or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, God is calling us to be on mission. Clay, thank you. Thank you. I want to, yeah. Let's pray for Clay. I want to pray over Clay for just a second right now. God, I just want to ask that you would just be with Clay. God, thank you for him. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his willingness to be obedient and follow you in the midst of, God, most of us won't. When you really call us to do something, God, most of us won't. God, I pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts of just even that. God, that you would help us to question our love for you and ask ourselves, are we really loving you? Because, God, if we're not loving people, God, there's a chance that maybe we're not loving you. And, God, I just lift Clay up to you. God, I ask that you would use him to advance your kingdom. God, to advance the gospel. God, that people would come to know you because Clay's life mattered here on this planet. It was for your glory. God, thank you. Thank you for his friendship. Thank you for allowing us to partner with him. In your name I pray. Amen. Thanks, buddy. Thank you, man. We are going to partner with Clay on this endeavor this summer, and as he said, he's open and game for possibly like going and being there, staying there, and we're going to partner with him through some of that. So be in prayer for Clay. I'm sure they can follow you on Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. They want to keep up with your journeys, and they'll be pretty good. He also has a dance exercise video that's available on YouTube, right? That's pretty awesome. I may have to post that later for everybody. I'll tell him the context so it doesn't completely throw him off. I think for us to not carry the church baggage that a lot of us carry in thinking that missionaries are people that come and or better yet, people that God has called from here just to go there, wherever there is, and for us to begin recognizing that we're all called to the same thing. We're all called to the same thing. And that's what it means for us to be missional. That's what it means for us to be a missional people, people that are on mission. But here's the trick. We've got to be careful that we're not on our mission and that we're on God's mission. You see, there's a difference. A lot of times, and I kind of alluded to that earlier on, a lot of times we'll get something together and maybe it's something good and we're doing it, we want to do it for Jesus. We're kind of like, okay, I'm going to get this thing together. And then we take it to God and go, okay, God, here's what I got for you. And sometimes what we're doing there is we're trying to make ourselves feel better. We're trying to please other people. The truth is we need to spend time loving God, spending time with him in his word, praying, letting him convict our hearts. Because what happens is this natural occurrence of when we're loving God, we're spending time with him, he begins to change our hearts. Our hearts begin to change. They get convicted about things that we never saw coming. You never saw China coming. Come on. And, I mean, I never saw this coming. No, God was going to call me to do something like this. You know, and for us to just recognize that when we start really loving Him, He begins to show us in our hearts the things that He wants us to do. He gives us passions for things. He gives us passions for people. And so then we're not just loving Him, we're loving people. We're not loving people just for the sake of loving people. We're loving people because we love God. And because He's loved us first, we can love Him back and we can love others. And when we love others, if we really love them, we don't just see them in the marketplace and go, well, there's some people, they probably need Jesus. I'm going to pray for them right now. Oh, dear God, you know, please be with them. No. If we really love them, we get on a motorcycle and we follow them back to their house. Right? And we explain Jesus to them. And we show Jesus to them. Because I know where a lot of us are coming from. We're like, you know, well, I'm, you know, you don't know what it's like at my job. My job is just so horrible. God is just not even there. And if you're a believer, you know what I say to that? I say, why are you not taking Him there? Why aren't you the one? What makes you think that God hasn't sent you there to be a missionary right there? That God might not use you to advance the gospel? That people that are lost, that we say we love, that they could hear about Jesus. That they might be saved. That God might use us for His glory. Because that's what it's about. It's about His glory. Because, by the way, God has a mission. He doesn't need ours. Do you know that? God has a mission. He doesn't need ours. Here's His mission. God's mission, very simple, is to be glorified, to make Himself known. That's God's mission. He wants to be made known. It includes the work of Jesus. It includes the cross. It includes Jesus' resurrection. It includes Him coming back again one day. It also includes the church. It's that the church is being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That God is giving us the power that we need to carry out the things that He's calling us to do. That He's going to use us to do things. He's going to do things through us. And He's going to be glorified through it. The church isn't going to be glorified. Church might look good, and she needs to look good because she's the bride of Christ. But at the end of the day, this is about glorifying God. This is about glorifying Jesus. And when the church is empowered, the church is empowered to gather, as we're doing right now. And the church is also empowered to scatter, which is what we'll all do tomorrow. You may say, well, Chris, I'm not going with you guys to Alabama tomorrow. That doesn't matter. We are the church, gathered and scattered, whether we are here or we are at work or we are with our family or we're playing at the racetrack or whatever it is, we are the church. And God has as a part of His mission to use the church to send out the church into the world to join in Jesus' mission. You see, we don't have to come up with a mission. God's got one. It's that we live for His glory. That we live to make Him known. It doesn't get any simpler than that. That's our purpose in life. You can take that and plug that into any situation that you possibly can. And it doesn't have to be in China. It doesn't have to be in Alabama. It's wherever God has placed you right now in your life. If you're real honest with yourself, maybe you're kind of thinking, well, you know, Chris, I don't really love a lot of people. Let me challenge you with this. Maybe the reason that you're not loving them is because you're not loving Jesus first. Because let's face it, some people are hard to love. But at the end of the day, when we love God, our hearts feel convicted. And we see how everyone, including ourselves, need Jesus so desperately that it drives us into a love for them that is not something that we can come up as humans on our own. It is the Holy Spirit empowering us to love them. So if we really love God, we will love people. And if we really love people, we're not just going to wave to them and say, "Hey, how you doing?" We're going to love them by living the gospel. They need to see Jesus in us. That is living the gospel. And however we do that, we love them, we talk to them about Jesus, we love on them, we go serve them, we create opportunities. What we're doing for the next 3 days, anybody that's going to Alabama with us, that's what we're doing. We're creating opportunities for us to go and share Jesus with people and love on people at the worst moments in their life. God has a mission and He's calling us to it. So you might say, "Well, Chris, what is so important about my calling? What's so important about my calling?" Well, number one, I think if you don't recognize your calling, how in the world are you going to do it? If you don't recognize what it is, if you don't recognize that God is calling you to minister to somebody you work with, then how in the world would you ever get around to doing it? It's not going to happen by accident. It's just not. We're not going to do that. We're sinful. We're self-absorbed. We think more about ourselves than we think about everybody else. We're consumed with us. For us to understand our calling is for us to understand what God has called us to do and helps us to create the objectives to do it. Helps us to create the objectives to do it. We start, you know, once we realize it, we start, "Well, okay, well, the objective here is that I need to share Jesus with them." The objective here is that they need Jesus and I have Jesus. I can show them Jesus, and that becomes a strategy. Well, how do I show them Jesus? What's that look like for me? What's that look like for them? How does that play out? And then furthermore, it begins to, once we've started putting together the strategy of how we're going to show them Jesus, we start not just putting together strategies, but we start stewarding the things that God has given us to figure out how to make that happen. If we don't spend time with that person, that may not happen. Maybe we need to take them to lunch, spend some money on them. Let it be for the glory of God that we would take them to lunch once a week for the next 5 years if it meant them coming to Jesus in 5 years or 20 years or 50. Who cares? At the end of the day, they get to see Jesus through us, and we don't give up on it because it's our calling. And that's the second thing. That's the second reason of why it is important for us to understand our calling. And Keith gave me this week, and it just hit me in the face. Our calling is the thing that gets us through the tough times. Because you can ask any minister, ask any ministry team leader, ask anybody that's ever tried to do ministry in or outside of the church, doing something you felt led to do by God, you're going to have moments, if you haven't already, where you're going to go, "I just want to quit and walk away." But you know what keeps us from walking away? Our calling. Because we know at the end of the day, He wins. And we know that at the end of the day, that it wasn't done in vain. It's done for His glory. He's going to use it, and He is going to advance His kingdom with it. Because it is our calling, and it is from Him. Our calling is to make Him known. Simply put, our calling is to make Him known. This is what God has called us to. And this morning, you know, for those of us that are believers, this is challenging to us because we all struggle with this. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you just became a Christian a week ago. We all struggle with fulfilling what God has created us to do, which is to make Him known. And it puts a gut check on every one of us when we start thinking about it with every ounce of our life, every minute of our life, and start thinking about, am I Jesus to the people that God is calling me to be Jesus with? Or am I waving at them in the marketplace and I'm just going back to my place? Got to think about it. We got to spend time with God about it. We can't just come to church and hear about it and go, oh, well, that sounds great. I'm going to try to start doing that. No, we got to think about it. We got to plan about it. It's why I use words when I'm saying, you know, for us to figure out our calling means for us to figure out our objectives. Once we figure out our objectives and we know what we're supposed to do, we got to start figuring out the strategies to do it. Well, how am I going to do it? And once we figure out the strategies of how I'm going to do it, then comes the real sacrifice. Then comes, oh, well, it's going to take some of my time. It's going to take some of my money. It's going to take some of this or that or whatever that I've got. But these are the resources that I've been given. And guess what? Our resources were given to us to make Him known. I mean, this is exciting stuff. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where most Christians completely miss it. And we have an opportunity to be used for the glory of God. This morning you may be here and you may not know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've been to church. Maybe this is your first time. I don't know. But I just want you to know something. When they killed Jesus on the cross, He was the sacrifice for our sin. He got the death that we deserve for everything we've ever done wrong. And because of that, if we believe in Him and have our faith and put our faith in Him, He will be our Lord and Savior. Our sins will be washed away, like we sang just a little while ago, that the stains from His blood would make us white as snow. It's the best thing that has ever happened. He wants to restore us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to save us. And maybe this morning, maybe you need that. Maybe you've never been redeemed. Maybe you've never been restored. Maybe you've never been saved from your sin. I just want you to know that Jesus wants to do that for you today. He loves you. God loved us enough to send His Son. For those of us that are believers, John 20:21 says this. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus is saying, just like the Father sent me here to do this, I too am sending you out to make Him known. Let's don't miss this. Let's don't chalk this up to another Sunday morning church experience where, you know, it sounded like a good thing. Let's take steps to make this happen in our life. Find our calling, making Him known. What does that look like in our lives right now? Maybe He will call you to go to China. Maybe He will lead you to go to Alabama in the next 3 days and take off work this week. Great. But even when we come back, we still have a mission here, and it is His mission. And His mission is to be made known. Let's pray together. God, I love you. I pray that that comes through in every relationship that I have in my life. God, you know how poor and wretched of a sinner I am. God, you overcome that through the blood of your Son. And God, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for the cross. God, I pray that I would be faithful to you in my life and worshiping you and being the man that you want me to be sent out. God, I pray that as you send us, God, no matter what our calling is, at the end of the day, it's all the same. It's to make you known. God, I pray, Lord, that that would be us. I pray that this church would make you known. Gathered and scattered, that we would make you known. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. May we live that out.